Title: Return Chain Selector Automation for DubFX Intermediate. Alright, let's build something that feels like a real dub desk inside Ableton Live, but tuned for drum and bass speed. The goal today is simple. One return track, one send knob from your drums or vocals, but the actual effect flavor on the return can switch over time. Tight delay throw here, dark reverb wash there, phaser whoosh, and then a nasty tape meltdown moment right before the drop. This is Return Chain Selector Automation. You automate which chain is active inside an Audino effect rack on a return track. And the magic is, you don't need to keep drawing send automation everywhere. The send amount becomes how much, and the chain selector becomes what vibe. Before we touch anything, quick setup. Open a DNB project, ideally around 172 to 176 BPM. Pick a few sources to test with. A snare or snare clap layer is perfect. A vocal chop is great. Maybe a little percussion loop or tops loop. If you try bass stabs, cool. Just be careful with low end because returns can smear subs instantly. Now create a dedicated return. In Live, insert a return track and rename it RWFX. This is your FX station. Optional. You can put a utility at the very end later for width. But don't get too wide too early. We'll keep it clean first. Next, drop an Audino effect rack onto that return. Open the chain list and create four chains. Name them at tight delay, B dark verb, C phase slash filter, and D tape melt. Teacher note here, on return tracks, you generally want your effect set to 100% wet, because the dry signal is already coming from the original track. The return is just the processed version. Let's build chain A. Tight dub delay. Add echo. Turn sync on. Set the time to 1/8 note, or 3/16 if you want that classic DNB bounce. Feedback somewhere around 35 to 55%. And then filter inside echo, high pass around 250 to 400 Hz, low pass somewhere around 6 to 9 kHz. That keeps it from stepping on the sub and avoids fizzy harsh repeats. Add a little modulation in echo, just a touch, so it feels alive instead of like a spreadsheet. After echo, add auto filter. Put it in low pass mode. 12 or 24 dB slope. Start the cutoff around 7 to 10 kHz with a bit of resonance, but not a whistle. This is basically your tame the repeat stage, so the delay throw stays punchy on a fast grid. Now chain B. Dark verb. Add hybrid reverb. Pick something like dark hall. Set the decay roughly 2.5 to 6.5 seconds, depending on the section. In breakdowns you can go longer. In busy drops, keep it shorter. Put pre-delay around 10 to 30 milliseconds so transients stay readable. Then filter it. Low cut 250 to 500 Hz. High cut 6 to 10 kHz for that dark, smoky space. If your reverb starts ringing or making the snare feel like it's shouting, add an EQ8 after the reverb. High pass harder, like 300 to 600 Hz, and if needed dip a little in the 2 to 4 kHz region where harshness loves to live. Now chain C. Phaser plus filter. Add phaser flanger and set it to phaser mode. Rate slow, like 0.10 to 0.30 Hz. Amount around 50 to 80%. Feedback maybe 10 to 25%. Mix at 100 because we're on a return. This gives you that slow, rolling movement that makes tops and vocals feel animated. After that, add auto filter again. But this time use bandpass or notch. Bandpass is great because it creates that radio tunnel vibe. Aim the cutoff in the mid-range so it reads on small speakers, often somewhere between 500 Hz and 3 kHz depending on the sound you're feeding it. If you push the resonance a bit you can get that metallic air throw that works insanely well on snares and vocals in darker DNB. Now chain D, tape melt. This one is for one beat or one bar chaos. Start with redux, light to moderate bit reduction, like 10 to 14 bits and a small amount of downsample. Small moves go far here. Then add the basic delay device. Sync on, time to 1/8 or 1/4, and feedback 40 to 65%. Keep the lows out using the delays filter so it doesn't blow up your mix. Then add frequency shifter, but be subtle. Ring mode or single sideband can work. Fine tune plus 10 to plus 40 Hz is enough to make it creepy. Blend it in at like 10 to 25% wet. If you overdo it, everything turns into sci-fi pain, which is fun, but not always the assignment. Finally, add saturator. Drive 2 to 6 dB, soft clip on. This makes the meltdown feel like abused hardware instead of a plug-in chain that's trying too hard. Quick optional sound design upgrade. You can reorder chain D so the degradation happens after the time effects. For example, saturator, then frequency shifter, then delay, then a high pass filter, then redux slightly at the end. That way the repeats degrade progressively, which feels more like a dub machine being pushed. Now for the secret sauce, chain selector ranges. In the rack, click chain so you can see the chain selector lane. We want only one chain active at a time, like hard routing on a mixer. Set a tight delay to respond from 0 to 31. Set B dark verb from 32 to 63. Set C phase slash filter from 64 to 95. Set D tape melt from 96 to 127. Keep the fade ranges tight or none for hard switches. Hard switching feels like classic dub routing changes. If you want more cinematic morphing, add small fades, like 2 to 6 units, so it micro crossfades between chains. Now map the chain selector to a macro, just to keep your automation clean. Hit map in the rack, click the chain selector, map it to macro 1, and rename the macro FX select. At this point, you have a return that can become 4 different FX stations, and you'll switch them with one automation lane. Now, let's actually use it. Go to your snare track and turn up the send to RWFX. Start around minus 18 to minus 10 dB, depending on your gain staging. Don't overthink the number. Just get it audible without taking over the dry snare. Here's the workflow mindset. Try to avoid automating both the send level and the chain selector constantly. Pick a main performance control. Most of the time, the send amount is how much and the selector is what flavor. So set the send and then write the story with FX select. In arrangement view, automate FX select. A really classic DNB pattern is, last snare of the phrase gets a tight delay throw. Breakdowns can live on the dark verb and phaser for atmosphere. And then right before the drop, you hit tape melt for a single moment and cut it dead. If you want an example 32 bar arc, intro bars, spend more time on B and C, more space, more movement. Build. Start using A on snare N's to build momentum. One bar before the drop, D for a single hit or a small burst, then immediately back to A or even back to nothing. Drop, mostly A for controlled throws. Occasional C for movement and keep B and D as special moments so your drums stay punchy. Now we tighten it, because D then B is fast and the return can easily smear your groove. Add a gate at the end of the return track, after the rack. Set the threshold so the tail shuts down quickly after hits, and set release around 80 to 200 milliseconds. Tune it to the groove. Too short and it chatters. Too long and it doesn't do the job. This one device can be the difference between pro, punchy dub effects and why does my drop feel blurry. Extra coach move, treat the return like a mini mix bus so every chain behaves consistently. After the rack, you can add EQ8, then glue compressor, then a limiter. EQ8, high pass somewhere between 250 and 600 Hz. The aggressive. Your sub and kick do not belong in dub returns most of the time. Glue compressor. Gentle ratio like 1.5 to 2 to 1, slower attack, auto release. You're not smashing it, you're controlling it. Limiter, ceiling around minus 1 dB, only catching spikes. This stops chain D from randomly being way louder than chain A when you jump the selector. Another important reality, switching chains can click or pop if you switch when a hot tail is ringing. Two fixes. 1. Add micro crossfades by giving each chain a couple fade units on the edge. 2. Put a utility at the start of each chain and map gain to a macro called FX mute. Then you can automate a tiny 20 to 50 millisecond dip right at the switch point. It's like a DJ cutting the channel for a split second so the reroute feels smooth. Now a dub technique that's pure gold, pre-fader throws. If you want the classic move where the dry sound drops out but the effect keeps ringing, right-click the send and enable pre. Then automate the source track fader down while leaving the send feeding the return. That's how you get that snare disappears but the space keeps talking vibe. Also consider grouping. Instead of sending 10 individual drum tracks, send a tops group to the dub return and keep kick and sub excluded. Now it really feels like a console. One move affects a whole layer. Before we wrap, let's do a quick 15-minute practice exercise so this becomes muscle memory. Make a 16-bar rolling drum loop. Send only the snare to our dub FX. Automate FX select like this. Bars 1 to 4 on a tight delay. Bars 5 to 8 on C phase slash filter. Bars 9 to 12 on B dark verb, but slightly reduce the send if it gets too washy. And then bar 16. D tape melt, but only for the last snare hit. Like a little glitchy portal opening and closing. Then dial the gate until the groove feels tight again. Export it quickly and listen away from the screen. The win condition is, the groove stays punchy, but the FX keep changing character like a performance. Final recap so you can explain it to someone else. You built a return track with an audio effect rack. Inside it, multiple 100% wet dub FX chains. You set non-overlapping chain zones. You automated the chain selector, ideally through a macro called FX Select. You kept it DNB safe by high-passing the return, controlling feedback, and tightening tails with a gate, optionally with some bus-style compression and limiting. If you want to push it further after this lesson, build a fifth chain for ping-pong stabs, then level-match all chains so the selector doesn't feel like a volume knob, and try two versions of your automation, one with hard switches, and one with micro crossfades. You'll immediately hear which one feels more performative and which one sits cleaner in the pocket at 174 BPM.